Welcome back. We are the Juckies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can listen to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM, streaming live on the free Odyssey app. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Talked a lot of NBA draft early in the show. We'll get back to it with John Fanta, College Hoops Insider on Fox, coming up at 9:25. But talking about this Philadelphia Voice article, the top 10 reasons the Commanders are going to be a dumpster fire, according to the Philly Voice. And they include things like regression, which has to do with the lucky wins, if you want to call them lucky wins, the Hail Mary game, the two-point conversion that goes their way, not to the Saints, the missed field goal at the end of the Falcons game, a couple other games.
Neighbors
that they
dropping
point to,
the fourth down play.
And the Eagles game, the pass to Devontae Smith, the Eagles probably run out the clock. Now, I always counter that by, well, the Commanders still had to make plays.
Yeah.
And one of the things about the late game wins is that's one of Jaden's strengths. It's clutch. Like, the offense operates sometimes the best in those situations. Like, he's calm, poised, and he's prepared for those situations. So
true, but in some of those games where they did come back, they had to go for fourth downs, and they were getting them.
Yes. So he points to regression, says that the team's made stupid trades, stupid signings, old, which, you know, they apparently re-signed 12 players 30 or older this season, either signed, traded for, or re-signed. And they have 29 players.
That's the way they're staying competitive.
Yes.
As they, you know, rebuild the roster. Yeah.
They have 30 players that are 29 or older. The next highest team has 19.
Valdez wants me to be all upset and just fire back shots.
Yeah, why? I want you to stand on business.
I can't. Here's why I can't. Because this is just a clickbait article.
And well, I know.
I can't. I'm above it.
Who's the writer?
It's not the guy from Deadspin.
I know, exactly. So why doesn't he get an original thought of his own and stop ripping off Deadspin from 10 years ago?
I have no problem with that criticism.
Jimmy Kempsky.
I have no problem with that criticism.
Yeah. Jim Kempsky.
Yeah, why didn't Jim get creative?
Philly
instead
voice
of, instead
staff.
Of ripping off Deadspin.
This is a Deadspin bit that they would do.
I know.
And it's just clickbait, and I'm above it.
By the way, he talked about bad trades. Well, how's Jahan Dotson working?
That's true.
I think we got
the better end of that.
Yeah, you know what? They did win the Super Bowl last year. But you know what everyone talks about? Saquon Barkley jumping over backwards. Mm-hmm. They won a Super Bowl. Nobody gives an F.
I think Philadelphia fans I think Philadelphia fans are pretty happy with that Super Bowl.
Well, it's not them it's not them holding the Lombardi. It's Saquon jumping over backwards on Madden.
Well, it's totally different.
All right, let's go to the phones.
The Philly fans are very happy they won a Super Bowl.
Do you buy into some of these?
They're so happy
reasons?
They're worried about the Commanders. Get their name out of their mouths.
The truth is they're doing one on every team this week. But this is just the Commanders version.
Right. That's why it's clickbait. Yeah. That's why I refuse.
He prefaced it by saying he's like,
refuse to get manipulated by it.
He prefaced the article, to be fair, by saying this is going to be 100% vitriolic. And yes, we'll get to the Eagles as well at the end of the series. But we're not going to be talking about any positives right now. We're going to be taking a negative look at each of the teams in the NFC East. So it's the Commander's turn.
All right. Let's go to Tony in Frederick. Tony, what's up, man? You're all with the Junkies.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
It's a stupid media article, but it's even stupider to get mad about it.
Do you buy into any of the reasons, though, that they might take a step back?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Yeah, they could take a step back because the NFC North and the AFC West have some hitters in it that are a lot better than the bums that they played last year for the
so
most
schedule.
Part.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Schedule and the regression stuff. You know, you're not going to win six last-second games or whatever, last-possession games like they did last year.
Probably not.
Yeah, it's be unlikely.
Well, I mean,
but maybe you don't even have to be in that position because you're winning more handily.
Let's hope. A few of those times.
To be fair, they lost the last-minute game, too, against Pittsburgh. I mean, it kind of cuts both ways. But, yeah, to win 5 and go 5-1 in last-minute games, I mean, that says more for your quarterback than anything else. I mean, I'm not a Commanders fan. You know, truth be told, I'm a Steelers fan, but when your quarterback can keep you into it into the end, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Appreciate the call, Tony.
All right, thank you, buddy.
One more thing, sir.
Yes, sir.
For the gentleman that's trying to lose the weight.
Yes. Who is it?
German American Technologies Jet Fuel Super Burn Fat Burners, man. But you need to cut down on the carbs with them. But they work, man. 20 pounds in 2 months.
Wow. Good job. Congrats, buddy.
All right, congrats. Buddy. Thank you.
All right. I just stopped drinking. I thought that would help. That really hadn't helped.
It usually does.
Although I did get a compliment the other day. Somebody said...
That you look thinner?
They said, have you lost a little weight?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, maybe a little.
Someone noticed.
But I did get a compliment.
The scale just doesn't notice?
You know what? I just started getting on the scale again because I started getting cocky.
Oh, okay.
Because I started thinking maybe I'd be lighter, and it wasn't that much lower than... It was a kind of a similar number than what it had previously been. I don't really get on the scale that much, though, because it's very annoying. Let's go to Philly. Philly, what's up? Philly Stew, I'm sorry. Philly Stew.
Hey, how you doing, guys? First time, long time.
Hey,
what's
thanks,
up?
Man.
I moved here in 2004. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. I'm a Philly fan through and through. You guys have some of the best programming in the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic. Don't let anybody tell you different.
Thank you.
I think the article was trash, and I think he's a jackass. I think a lot of his reasoning has some sound math behind it, things like that. Yes, you guys are older, but you're older in positions that allow for guys being older and still productive, tight end, linebacker, and such. Your punter's 156 years old. But to say that they're a dumpster fire, I think kind of makes me mad. I don't want any clipboard material for you guys.
You get a little scared.
It's not that I'm scared. Let's be clear. But I'm circling division games every year. But when I circle the Commanders now,
I'm
have
nervous.
To highlight it in boldface. Absolutely. You guys went to a division championship. Yeah, I know how that game went. Throw luck out the window. I don't believe in luck. Every team wins by luck. And we can sit here ad nauseum and talk about it. But I think the article was trash. And I think that the quarterback is a superstar. And I think we're going to be facing each other for years. He's got the same dynamic as Jalen Hurts, the most important one. He looks like a winner. And I think you're keeping your coaching staff in place is probably one of the biggest things. Cowboys are a dumpster fire. Giants are a dumpster fire. You may regress, but it's probably for the same reason Philly may regress. A very tough schedule, and everybody in the NFL is going to be gunning for us because of our success.
I think that's very fair. Good
very
call.
Reasonable call, Philly
very
Stew.
Call.
I mean, how fair. How big are those Eagles-Commanders games going to be in week, 16 and 18?
I don't even know. Is that when they are? They're that late?
Yeah. They're two of the last three games.
Yeah. No, it's going to be huge. I mean, health massive. Will be a big factor there. Are we going to be healthy?
Yes,
enough?
Of course.
Hey, the Commanders have the Saquon stuffer, Javon Kinlaw.
Dude, a lot hinges on him.
Saquon stopper.
You can argue the defense kind of hinges on him. They're kind of building around that dude. He's kind of like going to be like the anchor, I think. Let's go to Dennis. Resting Dennis. What's up, bud?
Yeah. Good morning, guys. First of all, I really agree a lot with that last caller. Anybody that worries about what this guy up in Philadelphia says about our team and how we're going to regress, you know, Philly's going to regress too. And really, the only thing that this team I think really needs to concentrate on, because we're going to be good to go, is we need to quit playing. And I mentioned it yesterday when you guys took my call yesterday. Is I'm going back to it, the McLaurin thing. Okay, we need to get him signed and get him practicing with the younger guys and everything else, and we're going to be just fine. Okay, there'll be a couple games that we may lose because of some luck here and there, the Hail Mary game. But you know, I agree with everything basically that's been said. This guy from Philadelphia who's saying we're going to regress, he's a quack. Anyway, thanks for taking my call. Okay,
thank you, Dennis.
Thanks, buddy.
The blood pressure got high.
You guys have a good day.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, Dennis gets pissed off.
He's
not a fan of Jimmy Kempsky.
Let's go to Aaron in Suitland. Aaron, what's up?
Long time, fellas, long time. Hey, listen, I think the guy's an idiot. You know, when we look at our team, you know, what? We should have beat Philly, what, 2 out of 3 games last year? Do you think that Josh Johnson is going to make the team, 38 years old? You have to understand that, you know, Wagner and Ertz, you know, they're old, but they play significant roles in us being winners the way that we are now. Now, if I think that if Daniels or if the team didn't have the success that they had last year, there may be some validation to us being older. But now we have older, more mature. When do you reach your peak? When do you reach your peak? These guys should be coming in and ready to win and ready to win a championship. And hopefully, you know, we'll be champions again.
Right. Let's hope.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it, buddy.
Gibbs did it in year two. Can Quinn.
Dude, that'd be incredible. I don't know. We ran hot in so many areas last year. It's hard to imagine running as hot again. I acknowledge that. I've been scared of that since last year. But I think talent-wise, we're better. And so hopefully we can make up for some of that. I hadn't even remembered. You'd have to remind me the specifics of how the Pittsburgh game went down. At the end of inches.
It came down to the mark. Remember, it was a fourth down pass to Zach Ertz. And it looked on TV like he got the first down. They needed like another 10 yards to kick a field goal.
Right.
Yeah.
And instead, fourth down, they brought out the chain gang and they said it was short. And then Russell Wilson drew him off sides and the game was over. They ran out the clock.
Right.
Was a 1-point game?
I think it was. I looked it up. I thought it was like 28-27 or something. Maybe I'm wrong.
28-27.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jaden was moving the ball down and then they got, you know, stopped by couple inches. I mean, it's really what it came down to. I mean, you still needed to hit the game-winning field
goal. Was that one of the three fourth downs?
You were in position. I think you basically needed 10. I mean, I don't even think you needed 10, but like 7 to 10 yards for a long field goal.
But when you
that was one of Jaden's worst games too.
That one.
Yeah.
When you look at
that was also right off the injury
additions and subtractions. Do you agree that this team looks like on paper that they're more talented, that they're better, that they've upgraded?
Yeah, because I love Debo. I love Tunsil.
Right.
Kinlaw is still a question mark, but let's see. And then, you know, I'm a Lattimore guy. I think Lattimore is going to have
Amos?
A good year.
What about Amos?
Well, I mean,
he's getting rave reviews.
Yeah, I can't put too much stock on the rookies yet. I got to see them in regular season games.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, they do look better. Concerning, I can't find where I saw that they were the fifth healthiest team, but
hey, maybe it's our training staff.
The age is a little concerning, you know,
for sure, from year to year.
What you hope is that, like, let's say, look, our presumption last year going into the season was that Zach Ertz wasn't going to play every game. We figured he's going to get
more
hurt,
of an afterthought,
and now are you going to rely on that? Like, what if he reverts to what he had been doing kind of the couple seasons before he joined Washington?
Well, that's when you need Sinnott.
That's why, yeah.
Right.
Or Valdez's boy, Cole Turner.
I think that some of these presumptions that are saying that the Commanders aren't going to be as good, they're just kind of going by law of averages. They're going to have more injuries this year, more significant injuries,
all right,
not going to have the luck in Hail Mary situations.
But are we going to run bad in all those areas?
See, to me, I can make the argument both ways. To me, that Lions game and the Tampa game, they really stand out. Like, you can say you were lucky here and there. They're playing top teams
on the road
and beat them.
Correct.
And crushed the Lions. Now, I understand the Lions, their whole defense was basically out. But your defense picked off Jared Goff.
Did you
three
see,
times?
The other stat that people rarely mention, and I can't remember where I saw this, but I saw it recently, that we might have been the best in the league against 2-point conversions. Did you see that? And they interviewed Joe Witt Jr. about it, and he's got a whole philosophy about it and how teams just basically don't run anymore. And all you got to really do is guard the flats now, and then you figure out, do they like to go strong side or weak side? And you could really kind of narrow it down. I think they were something like, maybe only 2 2-point conversions were successful against us. I don't know what the number was, but it was pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that can continue. I feel like
I know that
the he one, had a logic to it.
Just since we're talking about like luck, the one which jumps out to me is the Saints game. So Saints game, Saints score, and then they decide instead of kicking an extra point and going to overtime, they decide to go for the win. In the 2-point conversion, and Rattler throws a pass to the tight end, and it did hit him in the hands.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't it was defended. There was a defender, you know, kind of there. And it was not an easy gimme catch. It wasn't like what happened in, you know, the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's some luck there. There's definitely some luck there.
Yeah.
Because if the guy could have hauled it in for a win. So
yeah, I mean, you could point out four or five games last year where the luck went their way, but like people always say, take any team that had a winning record, there's probably three or four games where they got more luck than the opponent.
Right.
But the Hail Mary was obviously huge.
But, you know, Steelers game could have gone the other way, it's true, and some others as well. So, all right, coming up next, John Fant is going to join us, College Hoops Insider for Fox. We'll get back into what the Wizards did in the draft and more here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Chuckies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. If you missed any of the show, of course, you can always grab the podcast. Just search the term Sports Junkies and download the podcast wherever you do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, going to talk some NBA draft with one of the best College Hoops Insiders here shortly. John Fanta, you've said that you like the Trey Johnson pick. Did you want them at the moment? I know you were upset that they didn't have Ace Bailey. Did you want them to go Trey Johnson, or did you want them to go Jeremiah Fears?
I like the Johnson pick. I didn't like the suit, but I like the pick.
And you didn't want Demon, who was
like
the first.
I like Demon, but I think that he's more of a project. Yeah.
All right, John Fanta joins us now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Hey, John.
What's happening, guys? Yeah. Good morning. Great to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
We're trying to figure out about the Wizards draft choice, Trey Johnson. We kind of like it, but fill us in a little bit more. You watch these guys a lot more than we do.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good pick. And of the guys who were taken, you know, for me, around 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 range, I think that's as good of a value selection at 6. That you're going to find in that range. I know that the Utah Jazz took Ace Bailey, and Ace Bailey got a lot of buzz to be, you know, maybe a top three prospect in this draft class. I understand the upside and the talent, but I wouldn't have touched Ace Bailey. I think he's undisciplined and has a long way to go to become a real pro. Trey Johnson averaged around 20 points per game and came up huge time and again as a freshman for Texas. And I'm just going to be real here. Texas didn't run offense. That's why Rodney Terry's no longer their coach. They didn't really have much of a game plan. And I think it's very, very hard when you're a freshman and you're in a situation where you're on a team where there's not a lot of depth, and the perimeter play is, I would say, okay for the SEC, which was the best. Remember, the SEC was the best conference in the country by a wide, wide, wide margin. And Trey Johnson stepped in, and he said, I don't care. I'm just going to get buckets. I'm going to take contact in this rugged league. I'm going to score for my team. And there's certain things that have to come along. But the length, the versatility, the ability to hit pull-up shots, I believe in Trey Johnson, and I don't think that he has even fully, you know, scratched the surface, framed out, figured everything out quite yet, which is encouraging for the Wizards. At the end of the day, the Washington Wizards become a draft winner for me for two reasons. Number one, they kept their pick and they got a valuable player in Trey Johnson. Good job. Number two, they shed Jordan Poole. I wouldn't have believed that would have happened, and they were able to do that in this draft week. So for me, that gets a thumbs up, because you have over $100 million set up in cap space next year. You have a lot going your way for your future. Now, you have, what do we always say? You have to have the right people make the right decisions. But I would say more of a win for the Wizards collectively than a loss.
What did you think going in? As far as this overall draft, I feel like the last few years they haven't been that great. There've been, you know, some great players right at the very top, of course. But as we were researching this, you know, we were initially disappointed that we didn't win the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes, and I was thinking, who are we gonna get at 6? I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, man, I think this is actually a decent draft. I think some of these guys are gonna be really impactful players. Not like back in the day, but I think it's a pretty good draft if I had to guess.
Well,
I think it's a really good draft.
Mm-hmm.
And that's evidenced by, you know, a guy like I considered the Thunder to be a draft night winner because they went and got Thomas Sorber at 15 out of Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when Sorber, first off, I think we all know that Sam Presti has an idea of how to draft in the middle of the first round. He took Shai Gilgeous-Alexander 11th. He took Jalen Williams 12th. The fact that he got Sorber last night, who before he got hurt, I thought was trending towards that range. It was just a matter of if a GM would be willing to pick him. Thomas Sorber was a top 15 prospect, and Sam Presti was wise to take him there, in my humble opinion. That's my point here, though. This was a really, really good draft class. When these kids were in high school, guys, I covered a lot of them on the circuit and had them at Peach Jam. The Peach Jam that all these kids played in was ridiculous. Like, in high school, you'd be going from one gym to the next, and it's Harper in one gym hooping, Bailey in another, Flag having like a sold-out crowd, more people in his gym than you see at some college games. And it was just so much fun, and you're sitting there like, man, these kids are all going to end up being in the same class.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get to college, and like I think that and maybe you guys believe me, maybe you feel differently, but remember last November when Flag was starting out early on, and he played Kentucky and Kansas.
Yep.
And in both games, late in the game, he stumbled.
Yeah, he had turnovers. You know,
and he had turnovers.
Yep.
You know how our world works. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all guilty of it in some way, shape. Oh, he's not made for the moment. Like, and then look what happens once he got cooking. And that's, you could say the same about a variety of players in this class. Konka Nipple comes to mind. Johnson certainly comes to mind. Jeremiah Fierce comes to mind too, although I like that the Wizards got Johnson over Fierce. But this to me was a class, and it's a class that's going to be remembered more so than previous ones. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I thought last year's draft class was historically weak, to be candidly honest with you. Washington was kind of set up in a tough spot because there just weren't a bunch of American-born college players. But the fact is, this was a class where the one-and-done freshmen, they returned in a big way because the college COVID year has gone away. It was the first mm-hmm. year without it. And it allowed some of these kids to not always be playing, like to not have every third game be against a 25-year-old.
So getting back,
difference.
So getting back to the Bailey versus Johnson. So do you think that the Utah Jazz, who took Bailey at 5, should have taken Trey Johnson over Bailey?
Well, I would have if I were general manager.
Right.
I understand why the Utah Jazz took Bailey, and because they got Walter Clayton as well, I think it's a good draft for the Utah Jazz, because if you're Utah guys, you were in a position at 5 where you're kind of in between, right? Of you could go and get, you know, the highest upside swing. And I understand that with Bailey at that position in the draft. So I'm not denying Bailey's upside. I just think Ace is a guy who out of the gates, you know, he's going to a place that the shots are there for him to take. Not that Washington doesn't have that, but like, I mean, if I traded for CJ McCollum, and he sat down with my rookie and you know, you trade for him to be in your locker room and try to, and, you know, get your culture going again. Well, a guy like that is going to say to an Ace Bailey, hey, man, this is kind of how things are done. And I think that H needs time. You know, I don't think that he's fully disciplined yet, and I don't think he's ready, you know, to impact winning in the NBA. I think he's ready to deliver. You know, could he have a 30-point game next season? Of course. It's the NBA and the regular season has nights where, you know, that could happen for a random player because of, you know, just a lack of defense in December and January at times. But I would have taken Johnson because I think that he is a guy who showed me, one, he could lead a team to an NCAA tournament. Two, he could average around 20 points per game in the SEC, which was just a ridiculous league. He impacted winning. That Texas team doesn't make the tournament without that kid, and it's hard as a freshman, again, to be on the team that he was on to get there. So if I'm in that role, that's who I'm taking. And I thought Washington then at six, with the circumstances. The fact is, Bailey wasn't on the board. It doesn't mean I'd come on this show today had the Wizards taken, let's just say Bailey was there and they take him. It doesn't mean I'd be tearing this pick apart. I think that Bailey's upside comes with a lot of things that have to still get framed out from a discipline standpoint. Johnson has to look at shot selection himself at the next level, but what Johnson showed this past year, he showed me a lot more that impacted actual winning, and that matters to me. Yeah. It has to.
Right. It's interesting if you look at the top five or six players. You know, Cooper Flagg is obviously going to Dallas, and they've got some superstars. I mean, Kyrie's going to be hurt for a while, but they've got veterans that, so he's not going to be asked to carry that team. Dylan Harper, same deal. Edgecombe, same deal. Knepel, you know, he's got right. Brandon Miller and Ball, and so they're not going to be asked to do a lot early. But Bailey is a different story because Utah's roster is poo besides Markkanen, and you're right. He's going to be taking a lot of shots early.
Well, you could be taking a lot of shots. And you know what? For you and for your next paycheck, that could be a very nice thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But the NBA is showing us, you know, I found it interesting. Sometimes we roll our eyes at stuff, you know, that lines that commissioners use, right? I don't know if anybody caught this last night. Adam Silver walked up to the podium. And he basically flipped around what some people have kind of been, you know, disrupted by. And I thought it was, you know, a different line, but I'm like, well, he's right. And this draft is kind of, I mean, the last couple drafts are evidence of it. He said, you know, welcome to the NBA draft. In the NBA, we've had seven different champions in the last 7 years. So NBA fans, you know, he made sure to like, you know, not, I don't know if he's taking a dig at the other leagues, but the fact is more so than the NFL and certainly Major League Baseball right now. He said it's the NBA where you can open up your season and you feel like, you know, more of you feel like you have a shot. It's basically what he was trying to say. And I think that was the interesting thing about this draft and kind of where things fall now. This goes back to, like, should we continue to do a lottery? Is that the best decision? Because, you know, Dallas didn't deserve that pick, but they got lucky. And, you know, Washington should have had a top three pick. So let's be honest here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt bad from getting sixth. But I do think that to your point, like, this is now a league where role allocation has never been more important. And strategic spending has never been more important because of the second apron situation. I will say this. We go back to the Washington Wizards. The Washington Wizards have lined things up to strategically spend money, and the Washington Wizards made a valuable pick last night in the draft. They didn't try to overcomplicate it. The Brooklyn Nets had five first-round picks. They might have swung and missed on all of them.
Oh, wow. I mean, well, they took a bunch of international players. I saw that. But real quick, before we let you go, getting back to the Wizards. So they do you think they should have kept Clayton, not traded that pick to Utah, or do you like Will Riley?
Well, I like Will Riley. you know, Will Riley to me is, you know, 6'7", dynamic wing, who, again, like, defensively still has some things to figure out. He's more of an upside swing. He is a project, but he showed a couple times for Illinois this past year that he could take over the game and drive to the rim, has a really good first step. The shot still needs a little bit of work, but I do like him and thought he would go somewhere, you know, in between the 18 and 24 range. So loaded with talent and is a guy who's bloomed a lot over the last year. you know, Clayton, like I like Walter Clayton quite a bit. I thought he was a great story. And, you know, Utah had they had a good draft with the two guys that they picked. You know, the thing with Clayton, and like Riley doesn't fit into this category, Clayton, the size is a bit of an issue,
mm-hmm.
because in the NBA you need to be able to have it at some point to function. Or if you can't, then you better be a damn good shot maker and not be holding a team back defensively. So look, I like Walter Clayton a lot. The guy won a national championship. We all know that sometimes doing that doesn't always just equate to huge success in the NBA. And there is evidence that say guys at his height that are picked in the top 20 over the years, that hasn't always panned out from a value perspective. In terms of the upside, which I think when you get deeper in the first round, that's what you want. Riley would be the better side there for a team like where Washington stands.
Right.
John, we got to run. Always love talking to you.
Good stuff, buddy.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you. I envy your quarterback room. Big time. Envy your quarterback room.
Thank you, buddy.
Oh, you know what? Real quick, in like 30 seconds or less, who's your guy there in Cleveland? Your personal guy.
Almighty.
Who would you want?
Where's the rosary?
Well, you got to pick from the four. Who does John Fanta want?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pick from the four. I mean, my God. I mean, wow. You know, it's like I'm trying to think of what it's like. I mean,
you're not a Shador guy?
I feel like I'm like on The Price is Right in 1978, and I like bring out an old TV set. I say, highest bidder, go ahead. Like, or closest bidder, go ahead. Like, I don't know. No, I mean, I would say Flacco week one. Like, here's the other thing. Everyone's like, you know, first off, Kenny Pickett, I don't even understand why he's in that room, but okay. Dylan Gabriel, you took him in the third round. So does he have a legitimate shot? Because you took him in the third round. I would say Flacco week one because of the fact that if Kevin Stefanski goes 3-14, he's going to lose his job.
Yep.
Week one, they host the Bengals. Joe Burrow's been notoriously bad in Cleveland over the years. So I would say Flacco. They try to recreate magic at first. And then, yeah, give Shador and Gabriel a shot. You have the Jacksonville Jaguars pick next spring. I don't think Jacksonville's going to be all that good, even with Travis Hunter. So, you know, they're going to, well, you know me, guys. We'll just take another quarterback or two.
All right, John. Good stuff. We'll talk to you soon.
See you,
thank
buddy.
You. Thanks, guys. See you.
All right. That's John Fanta from Fox Sports. Keep it here. So last week when I was out, I'm sure you guys talked about Adrian Peterson getting into the fight at the poker room.
Yes, we did.
The guy who he got in a fight with has told his side of the story now. He says that Peterson said something to one of his friends that he didn't like. So then he said something, and then when he said something, the melee broke out.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my friend's really not the kind of guy who's going to stick up for himself. So I kind of said something, but like Adrian Peterson said, I mean, we do know each other. I mean, it's not like we're strangers. And we had just met each other. He says they've known each other for years, played poker together many times together. So he was defending his friend's honor. And then they got in the big melee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what I had heard, is that they were, if not buddies, they definitely were acquaintances and knew each other from playing poker through the years. It wasn't like two strangers.
But they weren't tight.
Maybe no. They weren't tight. But my understanding is after the fight, they were fine.
Yeah.
I've seen tempers flare at a poker table. Hell, I've been involved in it before. It can happen. It definitely happened.
EB, you're always looking for documentaries. This one seems right up your alley.
All right.
Coming out on Netflix. I don't know the exact date. The Poop Cruise. Do you remember years ago there was a cruise ship that was, I think, heading towards Cozumel, Mexico, and it lost power.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't use the toilets.
Why?
Because there was no power or anything. I don't know.
So what did the people do? They just
February pooped? Of 2013, it was a carnival. It's been dubbed the Poop Cruise, and there's going to be a documentary all about it.
Oh, I don't know. No,
it's called Trainwreck Poop Cruise.
I'm out.
You're out
now,
on that.
I saw there was a cruise.
It's already out.
Oh, it's already out.
Yes. I have had a friend of mine text me about it. It says, you have to watch it. It's It's kind of comical. But Netflix is doing a bunch of these documentaries where the title is, you know how you have like Manhunt,
yeah,
where you look for a serial killer. These are called train wrecks. So right. These are like things that, like the Astro World debacle that happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the Rob Ford one.
Yeah, I saw that one.
But that pissed me off, by the way. I watched all 49.
We weren't mentioned in there?
No, the entire thing is about how the media is hounding him.
We were the one show that he did.
And they cut it out.
Big oversight.
A waste of 50 minutes of my life.
Big oversight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've been into some of them. We've been in the Johnny Manziel doc.
Yeah, but we were actually a story.
Yeah, we were a story. Netflix should have interviewed you guys.
I remember I had reporters from Toronto calling me, literally calling. I talked to two of them on the phone and interviewing me about Rob and trying to get their questions to Rob through me.
And Olivia Gondek.
Oh, Olivia Gondek's all over this documentary.
Who is that?
Just a woman. He said that he didn't do something with her. One of his famous lines.
Now, what year was that?
2013.
And we were doing the show from the... From
Borgata at the time.
We were in the B bar. Is that what it was
called? We were interviewing him, and I look up, and we were on the crawl of CNN.
I know.
There's live.
Matt Lauer was talking about it.
Yeah.
Is his son the mayor now?
I think it's his brother.
Yeah, it's his brother.
It's his brother, Doug.
You still regret not taking the jet to his house?
Totally. I mean, we totally botched it. He invited us there. He invited us all there, and you guys are too, like, Jason just didn't want to do anything. He's, like, too lazy. Like, are you kidding? Yeah. This is an opportunity of a lifetime.
Biggest regret. Of my career.
Professional career?
I mean, he invited us to Christmas at his house.
I know. It's a spectacular botch, all based in laziness.
Right.
That's the only answer.
I mean, yeah, you're right.
A spectacular botch.
Oh, we got to get a passport.
Oh, I have to fly.
Yeah, I've got to do this, got to do that.
Oh, I don't want to spend my weekend there.
Well, I definitely didn't want to spend Christmas with him.
Okay, but it would have been once in a lifetime.
Than whatever happened, you know. Happened to your house? Well, year, probably.
Who knows? I don't know what we would have done.
he might have been
the worst person ever to hang out with.
No, he was fun. That was a fun dude.
That's a fun guy.
That's a fun guy.
Yeah. How many years later did he pass?
A couple years.
Passed away in 2016 during his comeback.
Yeah.
Wasn't that long after?
No, he was great. By the way, Jason, we got to sit down. Let's sit down first of all, because now we're basically. We're basically on the board at Live now with your boy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're like top dogs now. Like, we get whatever we want.
I just read an article about their Vegas week coming up.
I'm looking at the schedule. They're going all over. Let's pick one. Now, they're going to Europe.
They don't
and
have
stuff.
That many tournaments left.
Well, they're going to Chicago.
Yeah, they've got a couple more in the
States.
They're
going to Indy. I don't love Indy, but I like Chicago. Mm-hmm. We go to Live. We go play Highlands.
Well, they got about six, seven left.
And by the way, can you send us some gear?
I mean, I could ask. I can't imagine that's a problem.
I need some Crushers gear.
I like just the Live hats.
All those years he was in Philly, I don't feel like we got one thing of gear.
Well, you didn't ask.
No, I did. We went there. We had a bunch of gear when we went there.
Yeah, there you go. You don't remember that?
Yeah.
All right, we got to get out of here. For Bish Bucks, EB, I'm JP. We will see you tomorrow. Coming up next, it's the B. Mitch and Finley Show here on The Fan.